Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. We're talking all things Penn State football here. Dustin Hockensmith with Greg Pickle for the next hour. Looking into some of the issues of the day here, first and foremost, Greg, Andrew Callahan from 24/7 Sports will join us a little bit later just to talk about Penn State's spring, what's real and what's not from the blue-white game, some of the themes that we've touched on a good bit over the past few weeks. I'm curious to hear Andrew's take, mainly from a film breakdown perspective. We're going to talk some Penn State basketball. Pat Chambers got a contract extension. They got a new recruit. Tony Carr's off to the NBA Combine. There's some things to catch up on there. And we'll round things out with Ask Greg. Your questions for Greg Pickle here could be football, could be recruiting, could be whatever you want them to be. Love life, whatever. Greg's got all the answers, so we'll round out the show.
Not on the Kentucky Derby.
Don't ask him a single thing about the Kentucky Derby. No. Don't ask me a single thing about the Kentucky Derby either. Ask Bob Flounders about the Kentucky Derby.
Bob Flounders, Dick Girardi, and that woman in Texas who played an $18 pick five and it paid $1.2 million. The odds of doing that, Dustin... Boy, I don't know. It'd be like playing the Powerball with, like, you take a number off of your Powerball and still hitting Powerball. I mean, yeah, that was incredible.
That's a vivid portrayal.
I thought about it a lot the last couple of days because I got to that four, the funny duck, and the only reason was because I was looking at a pick sheet, and the guy was meant to – he put 14 as the horse that should have been included in the pick five. I thought he meant one and four, so I used the four and got an $80 winner. I'm not sure how she got to it on an $18 ticket, but that's tremendous handicap. And I am going to fly to Texas before the Preakness and make sure I get her picks in.
Get them. And then who knew for Bob, such a bold move going with a race favorite. I can really applaud that. So anyway, let's talk some football, Greg. We'll talk about the Preakness at some point in time, but let's talk about some football. I want to start with the two publications, Athlon and Sporting News, with the best quarterback rankings, and Trace McSorley being number one for the Sporting News, number one for Athlon. And I guess you can't really argue. You know, there are some guys who I think are out there who there might be a little bit more upside in their offenses or whatever, but nobody's really done with what McSorley has done. And these are the real benefits, including obviously what a senior can do for your offense. But McSorley's been there, he's done everything, and I think that in a post-Saquon Barkley world, I'm excited to see what he does. I don't think I can argue with either one of these rankings for sure.
No, I can't either. When you look at everything, I was thinking about this on the way in this morning too. When Trace McSorley, sort of engineered everything Penn State's done on offense, he received the least amount of credit probably of anybody between Barkley, Mike Gesicki, obviously Joe Moorhead, James Franklin. And you just knew that at some point he was going to get his due credit, if you will. And it's not to say that Penn State fans overlooked him, because I don't think they did. But from a national perspective, there's no doubt in my mind, Dustin, that this guy was forgotten about for the most part. And he might be one of the few, when you look back over his numbers in his career so far, he might be one of the few quarterbacks in the last 10 or 15 years to do what he's done and lead his team to a Big Ten title, lead his team to the Rose Bowl, a Fiesta Bowl victory, within 4 points of being in the college football playoff, multiple top 10 rankings, and really not get a whole lot of praise from the national level, not make all the All-American teams and the Big Ten, all Big Ten teams, so on and so forth. So really, in my mind, it's a question of how high can he go in the Heisman odds before we get to the season, and how high can he go in these preseason All-Americans, because I think people are really starting to turn on to what he's done. And they're going to question, of course, can he do it without Joe Moorhead, without Saquon Barkley, without Gesicki and Hamilton, and so on and so forth. But to me, the question is not that. It's why were people so slow to come on to what he's been doing during his time at Penn State?
It's pretty quiet. It's fairly quiet production. And I'm not so sure that even people around here don't have the full scope of appreciation for that. Because I think there's, to some degree, there's a thought that the offense kind of trumps everything. You plug a quarterback in there, and as long as he kind of checks the right boxes, the production's just going to fall on his lap. And then the other thing is, obviously, with Saquon Barkley being around, you know, those are the highlight reel plays. And that's what everybody was looking for in the highlight reel plays, and that's what they got. So with McSorley, I don't think without doing anything besides just produce, that's just kind of what happens. And he gets his due now. I think he should be in the running for the Heisman. And looking at the number of options they have, I'm not really that concerned about losing Saquon Barkley, losing Mike Gesicki, losing Deshaun Hamilton, because I think those positions are more plug and play than the quarterback position is. And Penn State's got some good ones to plug in.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think that Miles Sanders is, it's interesting with him because you want to just assume that he's going to carry the torch. But, you know, like we've talked about before, there's times when he's looked really, really solid and really, really, like a guy that can carry the torch. And then there's other times when he's looked like a guy that, you know, had four-star potential but necessarily hasn't had the opportunity to showcase that. And to me, it's always been a consistency thing. And I go back to the Fiesta Bowl and sitting there and thinking about the fact that, and I don't know if James Franklin ever actually confirmed this, but I'm pretty sure that if you look at the snap counts, they were alternating series, Saquon and Miles Sanders. And when Sanders knew exactly when he was going to get into the game and how many, you know, he was going to play the whole drive, and I think there were a couple times he went back-to-back drives, and I thought it was the most comfortable he looked, and I thought it was the best he's looked. And that's not just because he's older and has learned and has experienced a lot of things, but I just think sometimes there's guys that can jump in right away and be the substitute, if you will, and they don't have any problems. And then there's guys that need to know when they're going in, need to know when they need to be ready, and I think he might be one of them. So I think the Fiesta Bowl is an encouraging jumping-off point for him, and we'll see where it goes from there. But, yeah, you have him. Juwan Johnson is a guy that, you know, is going to show up on a lot of these preseason teams. You have Justin Shorter coming in. You like what you have overall in the wide receivers room. Does Ricky Slade make an immediate impact? I mean, Penn State has the pieces. There's no doubt about it. We can debate what they lost, and you don't want to overlook, you know, a guy that went in the first round, a guy that went in the second round, a couple fourth round. You know, you don't want to overlook losing those guys. But at the same time, to me, Dustin, if you're Penn State, your whole goal has been to get to a point where you can lose guys to go to the NFL and still not miss a beat, because that's what the best programs do. And now we get to see for the first time if Penn State's there yet or if they're going to need a little bit longer.
I think that's a great point about Miles Sanders, and I agree 100% about that. I think that some rhythm backs need to know exactly what the circumstances are. Some guys, they're comfortable, they're content just getting in there and whenever their number's called, just going out there and responding to it. Miles Sanders wasn't that guy, but it doesn't mean that he can't do more with more touches. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking some Penn State football. News and notes, you know, we mentioned Trace McSorley. We use that as a platform to get into the offense. I wanted to talk about recruiting, too, Greg. Keaton Ellis, in particular, takes home defensive back MVP honors at the opening regional out in Ohio. And, you know, I have to kind of think he's been so insulated, so to speak, in his recruitment because he plays multiple other sports. He's in state college. He committed to the hometown program. Is this the beginning of what I could say is a coming out party for him? Because he's really good.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking a little bit about that when the news came out that he won the award, because I don't know. I think it's obviously a good sign for him and for Penn State, but really, at the end of the day, it looks to me like he's still going to be one of those guys that's just overlooked because he lives three seconds from Penn State's campus. I think Sean Fitz had a good tweet the other day that, you know, Brent Pry could have drove over to State College High to check in with Matt Lintel, the head coach there, or he just could have walked because it was a nice day. And that's sort of what it's good and it's bad. It's really good for Penn State because this kid can be on campus every single time a recruit comes to town. I don't think you can underestimate having a ready-made high school kid that's committed to you that can be there as a peer to kids that come in from all over the country. He knows all the secrets in State College. He's lived there for years, and he's a guy that can show kids some of the things and explain to them some of the resources and advantages State College and Penn State have, that not that the coaching staff can't explain them, but it's easier when it's a peer, you know, age to age sort of conversation being had. So that's a big deal whether he gets a ratings bump or not. I think that, you know, he probably put himself, I mean, Ohio Chicago opening regional is generally one of the better ones. I mean, and look, Texas always has like 17 guys get invited. The one in California always has a lot. Florida, I mean, the football hotspots are the football hotspots. But the Ohio camp, generally speaking, brings together the best players in the Midwest and some from the eastern part, or I'm sorry, western part of Pennsylvania and some other areas in the Midwest. So I think that this is a big deal for him, even if he doesn't get the rankings bump. And for Penn State fans as well, who maybe thought, okay, there's some high-rated corners on the board or some high-rated prospects in PA. Why did Penn State snap up this kid in its backyard so quick? I think you're going to see why here, not just because of this camp, but he's going to do some other camps as well. And then, of course, have a senior season to display a lot of good things too.
There's been a bunch of kids over the past few years, past few recruiting cycles, where Penn State's been proven right about what they saw in him in the first place. And I think Taquan Roberson got a 4-star from 247 a couple weeks ago. Keaton Ellis, they ran early on him. And I don't know whether he's moving in that direction, but I have to think that if he competes on a national stage against the players that are going to be at these events, and he runs the way that he apparently ran, I can't recall the time that he ran. It was like a 4.5 or something like that, 40 for Penn State. It's only a matter of time before the secret gets out about him. And obviously he's not going anywhere, but I thought it was interesting to see him, you know, really put his name out there a little bit more. Christian Hackenberg, Greg, we haven't talked about him for a while. Here we are. The Jets draft Sam Darnold from USC, who Penn State fans should be familiar with him. He is, at that point in time, the fifth quarterback in the picture there. So they release Bryce Petty. I don't know that that's a good sign necessarily or a bad sign for whatever for Hackenberg, but the fact that apparently they're tearing down everything with this throwing motion and they're trying to rebuild it. It seems like a real last-ditch effort here to salvage a second-round draft pick. Hasn't played at all. Is in position as the number four quarterback on the roster. They also signed Teddy Bridgewater, who his health might play a role in what happens with Hackenberg in the future. But what's next for him? Where is he going? What's he doing? Is he going to stick in New York?
Boy, I don't know. I can't imagine. I mean, the only way he sticks is if Bridgewater is either gets hurt again or recovers slowly from the injury he's coming off of, or doesn't recover at all. I think that's his only shot. And to me, where does he go next? Somebody tweeted at me the other day about, oh, I hope someone will put him on the field and give him a shot. If you're a second-round pick and you can't play your way onto the field, it's not the team's fault that they didn't quote-unquote give you a shot. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous. It was a fact that everyone knew that he had to come out of Penn State and improve, and he clearly hasn't. And maybe this throwing guru will be the guy that turns him around. But guess what? I listened to Jordan Palmer stand at Penn State's Pro Day and recite all the things that he fixed with Christian Hackenberg and how him and Hackenberg worked out all the time and this, that, and the other thing and all the ways that he was going
to
improve.
We talked to him on the show too, Jordan Palmer.
And 2 years later, he's nowhere closer to playing in the NFL than he was that day in State College.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of goes into that NFL, the big toolsy guys, sometimes it just doesn't work out with them. Still hoping for the best. He's running out of time, though. We're running out of time here, too. We're moving on. Andrew Callahan from Lions 247 is going to join us to talk Penn State spring football in just a moment. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can. When you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.